In March 1781, you are looking at the Cherokee town of Tuckasegee. A book of Cherokee stories says the original word may have meant mud turtle place, as turtles were common here. It suggests this was one of the earliest Cherokee settlements in this region, perhaps dating as early as the year 1000. The village became known as the place they rode backward. By sitting at the fork where the West Tuckasegee joins the main river, to the right across the bridge, and staring into the water, you can get the sensation of moving upstream. One house here is round and 23 feet in diameter. The four outer wall posts are set 4 feet apart, with another set inside for roof support. A fire basin is located in the center, and the smoke hole above the basin is made of clay plaster to protect the roof. Somewhere there is a larger council house or townhouse, other circular homes or log cabins surrounded by fallow farm fields, round sweat lodges of vertical logs, and livestock pens. A granary holds the fall harvest. Look toward the church in the distance uphill to the north. Sevier's force is approaching down the Tuckasegee Valley from the direction of modern Webster, the route now marked by NC 107. Because of the hill on that side of town, the Cherokees probably have no warning of the army's approach. Both the view and vibrations that might have been felt on flatter ground are blocked by it. Instead, the first sign of the 130 to 170 part-time soldiers called militia is likely their appearing over the hill at a gallop. They wear standard backwoods clothing, not uniforms, and carry long guns and perhaps some swords. There are no eyewitness details, but we can speculate on the action based on both sides' military practices and the casualty counts. Cherokee men and women probably rush out of the homes and townhouse trying to prepare their muskets, firing at the marauders as soon as they can. The horsemen with swords go after individual warriors who fight back with gun barrels and war clubs. Other militia probably pull up their horses and begin firing back, some dismounting. But surprise and superior numbers have won the day, so eventually the surviving Cherokees lay down their weapons. Taken captive, the villagers are forced to watch as Sevier's men light torches and burn all of the buildings. The natives are then marched off with the army as it heads south across the river, probably to be sold as slaves. 17 to 50 Cherokee were killed, an unknown number wounded, and at least 28 warriors plus around 50 women and children were captured. Only one militia soldier was killed and one wounded. After the battle, Sevier's force continued downriver and destroyed between 6 and 20 villages. Eyewitness sources vary. Historical tidbits. In 1751, residents of the Cherokee town of Kiawee in South Carolina, angered by cheating traders and fearing rumored attacks by colonial governments, asked other villages to attack traders throughout their lands. Only Steekoa, in today's Whittier, responded, raiding the home of their local trader, Bernard Hughes. However, his native mistress warned him, and he and three others escaped here to Tuckasegee. A short drive from this stop is Judicalla Rock, boasting the highest concentration of native petroglyphs east of the Mississippi River. Petroglyphs are symbols etched or carved into rock, and this set dates back to at least the year 500. The soapstone rock was quarried for bowls as many as 3,500 years ago, as you can see in the lower right corner of our photo below. A Cherokee story holds that a giant named Sul Kalu steadied himself with his hand there, leaving the marks, after jumping 10 miles in pursuit of hunters who had not performed the required rituals. If you visit, please do not touch the rock, a Cherokee sacred space, to preserve it for future generations. Follow the directions or use the coordinates at the bottom of the historical tidbits section.